Hi guys, so you thought you escaped me. I've been speaking in 456 a couple times in the last month or so, and you're like, okay, cool, I get to go to junior high, and then we have to see that bearded guy who works in the kids department again. I'm here, sorry, and hi. So you guys, Shane Sanchez, who he is on a bus right now heading to California with the campers. I literally texted him a minute ago to see if I could FaceTime him from stage. Let me see. Uh-oh. That could be a problem, huh? I'm going to try to FaceTime Shane real fast. Oh, well, tell him to hang up and FaceTime me. I wanted him to say hi to you guys, but he's really sad that he couldn't be here for the whole time of the first weekend. He's just been running around like a crazy man. Let's see. Oh, here he is. Let's see if we can. This is going to be the worst technical thing that you could ever hope for. Okay, Shane, if you have anything to say.
Hey, everybody. We are on our way to camp. This is part of my bus. We also have an upstairs in our bus. Sorry, I can't be there. Wow, you are really blurry. Eric, is your camera dirty?
Yeah, my camera is completely broken. This was a poor decision I just made to call you.
I can't see anybody. Where are they? Down a little bit. Towards your crown. There they are. Hey, everyone. New seventh graders, I am so looking forward to meeting you. I hope you all have a great service today. We are on our way to Forest Home Camp. Wish you were with us. You're going to have a great time today. You probably already have had a great time today. We love you. We're excited you're joining Junior High Ministry. And next week, we will be back next week and have a very special service planned for you. So I hope to see you all next week.
Okay, I think they might have heard a couple words of that. All right, we love you, Shane, and we'll see you next week. Bye. I just told him that you all loved him, so you got to follow through with that. So I'm excited that I got the chance to come and speak to you guys. Junior high is an awesome time to jump in. Like, I'm so excited for the new seventh graders and even for the eighth graders that you guys are now kind of like in charge of this room. Eighth graders, just know that as you take this role on as the big kids in here, that like you need to also be helping those new seventh graders who feel a little uncomfortable at times and aren't quite sure how this goes. Stop moving so much because my mic keeps popping, but I don't know why. But this is an awesome time. And what we're going to talk about today is just, where are you? That's kind of where we're going to talk about. Where are you in your walk with Jesus? Where are you as a Christian? Where are you at the church? And just, this is an awesome time. Junior high is an awesome time to kind of figure that all out. And just to figure out, hey, where am I in this Jesus thing? You guys have had tons of information poured into you since you were kids. And in 4, 5, 6, it was so awesome and crazy in there. And here is going to be an awesome mix of just fun and digging deeper. I would encourage you guys to get involved in that Bible study. It's still going to be fun. It's not going to be like school. I promise you it's not summer school. It's going to be an awesome Bible study. And then there's also small groups that'll come after summer. Please get involved in a small group. It's the best possible thing. You guys would sometimes in 4, 5, 6 have like 10 minutes at the end of the hour just to hang out. This is like a Wednesday night. You get to hang out in houses with other kids your age and just kind of really dig through things, talk through things that are real. It's an awesome time to connect and have fun and be in junior high. So what we're going to talk about this morning, is where are you? So we're going to look at this story in Luke. So if you have a Bible or if you have your iPhone or whatever, and there's some Bibles back there if you guys want it, we're going to be in Luke 5. And we're going to talk about this guy named Simon Peter, who you've probably heard of. Usually they call him Peter, but a lot of times in this story they call him Simon because his name's Simon Peter. So we'll use it kind of interchangeably. But we're going to talk about him on his journey of meeting Jesus. And there's different points that we might be at in that story. I have had such a blessed week, such an awesome weekend, really, of just realizing that when I listen to God, I am so blessed. Even when it feels a little bit strange or out of my comfort zone, I've been so blessed. Two things that happened this weekend. One, me and my wife have been kind of laid on our hearts, we feel like God's really calling us to start this new organization for people that are struggling with like severe like sadness and depression and are really, really struggling, and we're trying to figure out how to approach that from a more community level. So we kind of put that out there into like our friends and family and said, hey, this is what we're trying to start. This is what we're trying to do. And the response was amazing. We had a movie fundraiser on Friday night, and we just had all these people show up that they were just there to support us and pray for us and be there. And it was just awesome to see that, oh, when we listen to God, when we actually listen to what he's asking us to do, he multiplies what we ever could have thought could happen. And then on top of that, yesterday I had the most amazing privilege to baptize somebody. And this person that we got to baptize, I would have never known except for that 2 years ago. Me and my wife were going into our 30s. Yes, I'm old. And we felt like we're supposed to lead a college ministry small group, which didn't really sound that exciting to us, but we led it. And we met this girl that was in our group, and we've been able to just help her and work with her for over this last couple years. And then she asked us to baptize her, and I was so excited to baptize her. And my plan was to be really profound, and like right before I baptize her, just be like, remember this moment for the rest of your life. But what ended up happening was I got so excited to baptize her. I was like a four-year-old at Disneyland. I was like, remember this moment for the rest of your life. So I think they'll put it on Vimeo eventually, like on Missions Vimeo. But I'm just like, remember it forever. It was a little weird. But it was so exciting because I got this opportunity to take place in this amazing part of this other person's walk with Jesus. So we're going to see kind of where we're at, and just kind of, this is a good time just to, as you jump into junior high, to figure out where you're at in this Jesus thing. So Luke 5, verse 1, here we go. So Jesus at this point, he's walking around, he's teaching, he's kind of just starting his ministry. He doesn't have his disciples yet. This is about to happen. But he's just starting walking around teaching. He's almost become kind of a celebrity at this point because he's healing people and he's teaching all these things, but it's a little bit controversial. People really don't know if he's like just a really awesome teacher or if he's a prophet, or they're not quite sure he might be the Son of God. So they're trying to figure that out, and this is where we're at. So verse 1, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, I still did not look up how to say that word, so we're going to call it just Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So basically, they're all coming around him. They want to hear what he has to say. They're trying to figure out if this guy's for real, but he's got a huge crowd. So they're kind of backing him up to the end edge of the water because there's so many people that he's almost like about to go into this water because he's by this lake. And so it's verse 2, it says, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. So he's formulating a plan. And in the next verse, we're going to see that his plan is that he's going to get in one of the boats, and he's going to have it be pushed out from shore so that he can be out in the water, and then he can teach from the boat. It's kind of cool. He doesn't stand on the boat. He just kind of sits on the boat and teaches them. But that's his plan, is he wants to push it out from the water and sit on the boat so that everyone can see him because they'll be separated from the land. It's a good plan. But he also has a secondary plan because he's gonna do something amazing in the life of the guy who owns the boat. But before we jump into that next part, what's key is the last part of this verse. It says these boats were left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So they're washing their fishing nets. And they didn't use like fishing poles. They used huge nets that they'd throw into the water and they'd pull back up to see if they caught any fish. And this is their job. This isn't like Memorial Day weekend and they're going to go out fishing. This is like, these guys are hardworking guys. It's not the best job in the world. Not a lot of people really want this job. They probably, it was passed down from family to generation to generation, their father, their father, father, father. They probably all were fishermen. And then these guys are fishermen. And the thing is, if they're washing their nets, it means they're done. Their work day is over. They've probably been working all night, just hours and hours and hours, and they're washing their nets. They're washing them off, and they're just done with their day. So if you're one of these fishermen and you see Jesus looking at your boats, getting ready to step into one of your boats, you gotta be hoping that he doesn't get into your boat. Because this rabbi, this teacher, he's gonna make me push that boat out so that he can be talk in front of all these people, and I'm just done. I've worked all day. I don't want to do that. So he gets in one of the boats. He got into one of the boats, in one the one belonging to Simon, or Simon Peter, and he asked him to put it out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So we see Simon, he has to go push out the boat, because Jesus can't just do it on his own. He actually has to have Simon do it because he wants the owner of the boat to be able to be there to take care of the boat. He pushes out the boat. So Simon's sitting with Jesus. This reminds me of, actually, I used to, in high school, I worked at Bash's Deli. It's not as exciting as it sounds. We just would cut meat and cheese all day, and it got really grimy and gross, and the floor behind those things, like, I mean, hopefully they've up to the standards a little bit, but the floor behind those things is so grimy and gross and just covered in like meat juice and cheese that kind of flew off the slicer, and it was just gross. It was a gross thing. And so at the end of the night, when I would work like an 8-hour shift, and these guys probably worked like 12-hour shifts or whatever, but I worked an 8-hour shift, and at the end of the night I would have to clean, and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'd have to clean because the deli closed at 9. We had a sign that said closes at 9. Here's the problem. If anybody wanted meat or cheese between 9 and 10 and they saw me behind that counter cleaning and trying to mop up all the nastiness, if they saw me and said, hey, can I get a quarter pound of honey ham? I have to say, yes, I would love to get you a quarter pound of honey ham. And I would have to get the same slicer that I just got cleaned dirty again and have to start all over again with the cleaning of that. That's what Simon Peter's got to feel like. He's got to be like, all right, well, at least he's just making me push the boat out. I'll just kind of sit here and like pretend like I'm paying attention and just kind of maybe rest a little bit, because then I get to go home. He's hoping that nothing more is coming, and then Jesus has something up his sleeve. So this is the deal. A lot of us are right here. This is where we're at in the story. We're in the boat with Jesus. Let's imagine that this room is the boat. The church is the boat. When you guys are in 4, 5, 6, that's the boat. Being around Christian friends, it's the boat, because you're here. And I'm glad you're here, and everyone's glad you're here. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to get in the boat with Jesus, because this is the place where we talk about Jesus. Church is a place that we have sermons and we sing about Jesus and we do Jesus-y things, and you're in the boat with Jesus and you're listening, and that's awesome. And a lot of times people just stay in the boat and they don't do anything else but stay in the boat, and they think that's okay. Like, as long as I go to church at least half of the year or as many times as I can, that'll be all right. I'm in the boat. I'm at least in the boat. But I'm going to challenge you that if that's where you're at, if you're in the boat, awesome. There's more. There's more to just being here and coming here every week. And this junior high is an awesome time to start learning that. This is what happens next. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, Jesus finishes speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This is the last thing Peter wants to hear, is that he wants him to put it out deeper into the water and to put out the nets that he just cleaned. Secondly, Peter knows two things. One, I haven't caught any fish. He says in a moment, I haven't caught any fish. We were fishing all night. We just got done with this huge shift. We didn't get any fish, Jesus. There's not going to be any fish out there, Rabbi. I don't want to do this. Secondly, at this time of the day, the fish actually would have been closer to the shore, most likely. That's where they would usually catch fish at this time of the day. They wouldn't be out into deep water. And so what he's got to be thinking is like, I know you're this awesome teacher. I know you're this awesome, like, religious guy. But listen, I'm a professional fisherman. And the last place that we're going to catch fish right now is out into deep water. And there's not even any fish to catch right now. We haven't caught anything. And this is where we can be at, too. is that we can start to hear Jesus. We're in the boat. We start to read the Bible. We start to pray. We start to discuss things. And then we have a decision to make because we start to hear a little bit of what God would want us to do, what God would want us to either change or what God would want us to take steps in faith to try him out. Jesus at this point is really just saying, try me out. Try out what I'm saying for you to do. And that's the next step that we can find ourselves at, is that we start to feel a little bit like, okay, this is something more than a book, and this is something more than me closing my eyes and talking. Something's going on here, and now I have a decision to make. Do I listen to it, or do I ignore it? And the reason that we might ignore it, there's a few reasons that we might ignore it. And I found myself at one of those, at one point in my life, I found myself at one of those. One reason is that we might feel like Jesus doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, I'm not popular. I don't have a whole lot of influence. I don't have a loud voice. I don't play a lot of sports. Or maybe I just play a lot of sports and I really don't want to do anything else. Or I'm just too busy. Or why would Jesus want anything to do with me? And that's what Simon Peter might be thinking too. He's a fisherman. Why doesn't this Jesus guy go over to the church, the temple, and talk to those religious guys and get them on his side? Why does he come to me? I'm just a fisherman. You might be thinking that. You might be thinking, why me? I'm just a seventh grader. I'm just an eighth grader. Or you might be thinking, I don't need this. And unfortunately, that's where I was a long time ago. It wasn't because I was thinking I was super. I was being selfish and I was being prideful, but I wasn't that I was like, I don't need Jesus. It was, I'm a nice guy. I help people. I try to do all the right things. I'm actually a pretty nice guy, and the things that I've read so far that Jesus is telling me to do, I'm actually pretty good at. Sure, sometimes I'll have like a little angry thought, but in the most part, I don't really like spout out with anger at people. I'm in a pretty good place, and I've got pretty good control over my life. That's where some of the reasons that you might not want to listen. Here's what Simon Peter does. He kind of doesn't listen for a second and then realizes, I'll try it out. Verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Then I imagine he might have taken a deep breath in the middle of that. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. So he's going to give it a try. And this is what the deal is. When we give Jesus a try, amazing things can happen. Weird things can happen. Things that we don't expect can happen. And what we see in those moments is we see the power of Jesus and the power of God in those moments. And that's what's about to happen. Simon Peter says, all right, fine. I'll give it a try. So he's throwing the nets down, and this is what happens. Verse 6 and 7. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So Simon found himself in the boat with Jesus. That's where a lot of us are. We're in the boat. We're here. The next thing, he started to listen to Jesus, and he's giving Jesus a try. And the third thing is what's awesome is that when he did that, he saw the power of God. He saw how powerful God is. And in my life, this is how this played out. I felt like I was a nice guy, I had everything under control, but the problem was I also had a lot of anxiety and depression and just things that were just like pressing down on me. There was a lot of things going on in my life at this time, and I was a teenager, and it was just really bad. And so at school, I seemed like a really nice, together kind of guy, but at home, a lot of times, I was literally shaking because I was so overwhelmed by things going on in my life. And one time, I found myself with my friend, Lene. She was this girl that was my friend, and she actually had invited me to church a few times, so I was kind of in the boat with Jesus, but I didn't quite trust him yet. I didn't quite know if I really needed him. And in this moment, one night, I was just freaking out. and I'm shaking, and it's just awful. And she says, "Can I pray for you?" And I knew that people had told me before, like, "Hey, I'll pray for you." But I'd never had anyone say, "Can I pray for you?" And I know that if I say yes, she's going to pray for me right now in the moment where I just feel awful. And so I say, "Yeah, I guess." Because I figure I'll give this Jesus guy a try because I'm sort of not feeling like I got it all together right now. And what happens is that she puts her hand on my back and she prays. And I remember the first thing she said was, "Jesus, give me the right words to say because I don't know what to say for my friend here." And then she went on to just pray, which I'm assuming God gave her the right words to say. And I want to say this as a warning. If you pray, it doesn't mean that automatically there will be a response to it. We don't know what God's going to do with our prayers. But in that moment, what he did with her prayer was that he showed me his power. And all of a sudden, I literally felt like there was this pressure on me, and then it was just lifted off. It was crazy, you guys. I felt like the power of God in that moment. I felt this pressure be lifted off. In the days to come, I would still struggle. I would still have like little panics, but I was able to pray too, and I was able to see the power of God, and that's what made me realize that I'm not in control of this. I can't control everything that's going on, and that's the next step. When Simon sees the power of God, this is what he does, and this is what we all can do when we see the power of power of God. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Now, he's having a close encounter with Jesus, and he doesn't even know what to do. He's so overwhelmed that he's like, "Go away, I can't even handle this right now. There's so much power that's happening in my boat." In fact, the boat actually is a little bit sinking, so I don't know if he's like kneeling on fish in this moment, but he's flipping out because he just saw how powerful Jesus is. He knows that Jesus is the Lord. He calls him Lord at this point. He's not calling him teacher or rabbi anymore. He's calling him Lord. This is the moment that we get to. This is called repentance. And some of us might be there, and some of us might get there later in junior high or even in high school, or it might be later. But the point is that when we see the power of God, we see that he's so much bigger and more powerful than us. And we get to a point where we go, I don't understand this, and this is so powerful. And I'm a sinful person. We get to the point where we say, I see all the mistakes I've made. I see that I can't do this without you. And that's where Simon Peter's at. He's like, I can't do this without you. I'm a sinful man. And it says, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. So when Jesus starts doing stuff in our lives, when we start listening to Jesus, when we take further steps into, we're in the boat, now we're going to listen, now we're going to see the power, and now we repent and say, Jesus, I need you. People around us will notice, you guys. They will notice. They will notice that change that's happening, and that's what's happening here. John and James see what's happening to Simon Peter, and all three of these guys, they become disciples. They become the first people that are going to walk around with Jesus. They're fishermen. They're not these religious, super awesome, like everyone respects them in the community and thinks that they know everything about the Bible. Guys, these are three fishermen who Jesus is talking to right now. And what's so awesome is how Jesus responds to Simon. Simon Peter is like, go away, I'm a sinful man. And this is what happens. When we realize that we need Jesus, he's not like, finally, you got it. All right, well, I'm going to go talk to somebody else now that you understand. Here's how he responds. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Simon was all kinds of afraid at this point. He was so afraid. He saw the power of Jesus that was so many fish that was sinking his boat. But Jesus responds to him, do not be afraid, for now you will fish for people, which is a weird thing to say. Let's be honest. That's a weird thing to say. Don't be afraid. Now you will fish for people. But if I put myself in Simon Peter's mind, he probably didn't understand the meaning of what that was. What Jesus is actually saying is that, listen, you caught all these fish, and now we're going to go around and we're going to be able to tell people about who I am, what I'm doing here, and we're going to be able to captivate these people by the amazing power of God and by what I'm going to do. But probably what Simon Peter understood is that we just did something amazing with fish, and now we're going to do something amazing with people. That's probably what he understood in that moment, is that you just saw something amazing with fish, now we're going to do it with people. And here's the thing. When we have Jesus in the boat with us, and then we see his power, the next step is to invite him into our lives and into our hearts. And when that happens, it doesn't necessarily get easier. Because what could have happened at this moment is that Jesus could have been like, well, I'm really glad that I'm in your life. Listen, I just gave you a million fish. You can sell these. You can probably buy a better house. You probably will be a celebrity fisherman. You'll get your own reality show. It's going to be awesome. That's where he could have been, but Jesus has a bigger call for him. Now that I'm in your life, Simon, I'm going to ask you to do something else. And he's asking him to go, to come with him. We're going to go do incredible things for people and with people, and you're going to be part of something that I'm going to do. And that's what Jesus gets to the point. When we get to that point with Jesus where we have invited him into our lives, he asks us to do incredible things and asks us to take the next steps. And so Simon has a choice. He can stay there and be an awesome fisherman who just caught all these fish thanks to Jesus and sell all the fish, or this is what he chooses to do in verse 11. So they pulled their boats to the shore, left everything, and followed him. It doesn't say they pulled their boats ashore, they went to the fish market, they sold all the fish, and within the next 3 days, they figured out a way to make sure that their families were well taken care of, and that every little thing was taken care of, and that someone can watch their dog, and that it'll be okay. It says they pulled the boats ashore, left everything behind, and followed him. Because this is what Jesus does. It's kind of crazy, but he'll ask us to do things. And when we start to really listen to what he's doing in our lives, we start to hear those things. And literally, I'll admit to you guys, just in the last 3 years, I finally feel like I'm starting to understand how to listen and how to follow those things. And that really does come from three things. Reading this thing, reading the Bible, even if it's on your iPhone or your iPod Touch or on the computer or whatever, maybe setting up a reading plan so then it goes beep, like you have to read your thing today. And then junior high, they start doing these bookmarks that has verses you can read. That's an awesome way to dig into your Bible. Doing the Bible study, reading, so important, because this is not just any other book. This isn't Twilight. This is not Harry Potter. It's not another book to put on your shelf. It's the living word of God. It's God telling amazing things that have happened and speaking into our lives. And the second thing is prayer, talking to God. And that can be awkward too, because we don't know what to say. And sometimes it's okay to just sit in silence with God. And sometimes that's when you're going to hear him the most. And you probably won't hear an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice say, Eric, you should go make a sandwich. Although I hope that if God ever speaks audibly to me, he tells me to go make a sandwich. And thirdly, being in community, you guys. Being around other people who are also just like you. They might be in different parts. They might just be in a boat. They might be ready to follow. They might be struggling with something. They might be able to help you when you're struggling with something. But being in community is the best third thing you can do. So reading, praying, and being around other people. That's in your small groups when you guys get into those. And just here, like even how Ty had you raise your hands and see what school you're going to be able to rely on each other at school when you see each other and be like, okay, we come from that boat, that same boat that we go to every Saturday or Sunday. All I'm telling you guys right now, all I'm telling you is to figure out maybe where you are in the story. Where are you? Where are you? And to be honest with that, and then see if you're ready to take the next step in that, to be able to start to listen or start to read, or maybe even to be willing to see the power of God, which might be a little overwhelming. Or maybe you're past all those things and you're ready just to follow. And that's a great time when you're following Jesus to lead others and to help them. This was a lot of information. And I promise you that junior high is going to be an amazing time for you guys just to figure out where you're at, but also an incredibly fun time. Like, this ministry is so awesome. Make sure you try to get involved as much as you can into the movie nights and into anything that they do. This is an incredible ministry. Shane is an awesome guy, and you guys are just going to love this ministry. And we thank you so much for being here. I'm going to pray for you guys. God, thank you for this chance to just be able to speak in here. I pray for every single person in here, and I especially pray for the new seventh graders, that this change in this new room and this big cement room, I pray that change happens for them, not just in this room, but in their hearts over these next couple years. And for the eighth graders, we pray that they just are able to even be a friendly face and a leading voice in this ministry. And I just pray for all the kids that are heading to camp right now, that they would be listening to you, God, and be able to come back and share with some of us who didn't get to go to camp some of the amazing things that God's doing in their lives. Just help us to be honest, God, about where we are. Are we in the boat? Are we listening? Do we see your power? And are we ready to follow? So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.